Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Well, what do you know? The Big 12 has a conference call with athletic directors and presidents, and OU and Texas were no-shows on that call. So much for solidarity in this league, as reports everywhere suggest the two schools want to leave for the SEC. This is not good for the Big 12, but it's certainly not as bad as it would have been 15 years ago when this all started. One administrator on the call is speaking out publicly without giving his name. We'll tell you what he's saying. Eliah Drinkwitz, the coach at Mizzou, just owns media days in the SEC with a combination of truth bombs and one-liners. This guy is so easy to root for, and while it wasn't a game on the field, Mizzou football clearly got a win this week. In the National Football League, their non-mandate mandate for players to take the vaccine is a dangerous thing. It's not approved by the FDA, and the NFL knows full well that it's common for players to have serious medical problems and even death from working out in the heat at training camp. Was this never a consideration as they're pushing needles on athletes that are healthy and won't get sick from COVID itself? Meanwhile, the Biden administration is caught between a rock and a hard place in D.C. They so badly want to put in place a national mask mandate to gain more control over us minions. But they've got a huge problem. How do you tell vaccinated people they must wear a mask and at the same time tell the rest of the people to get the vaccine because the vaccine is so great? This happens to liberals all the time. And you'll love this story. If it ends well, a deli owner in Olathe is going on Fox News this weekend with Neil Cavuto with an emotional story of how hard it is to run his business right now without employees. He says he can still pay about $27,000 a year to work in his kitchen. But the government, with Kansas, is paying more than that to stay home. We can all help him out. I'm going to tell you how on KKHI. Brought to you by Pro Partners Healthcare, Leawood and the Northland. This is direct primary care that gets you fast access to your doctor. You can literally text your doctor. This is not going through all the voice prompts and, oh, please press 1, now hold, go online for faster service. No. This is direct access to your doctor for everyone in your family. Dr. Troy Burns and his team of physicians have set it up that way. They're available 24/7 when you need them. And because they are, it will save you money. If you ever go to the urgent care, or the ER, or whatever, that'll pay for like a whole year's worth of membership for your whole family. So even if you have health care for big important things, like if you have a heart attack or you get cancer or you need specialists like that, you're still going to enjoy the benefits of Pro Partners Healthcare. It is exactly what it says. It's direct primary care, and it guarantees you fast access to your doctor right away for everyone in your family. Please check it out online at propartnershealthcare.com. They've got great offices in Leawood and the Northland. Propartnershealthcare.com. Amazing garage floors. John Hutchins is a great dude, man. It's a great American patriot who served with honor in America. Right now is the great time of year to seal your driveway and buy yourself more years of life in that driveway before it cracks or peels or starts to rip apart. For pennies on the dollar, you can get it sealed with Seal XP, and it lasts years. Protect your driveway for years with Seal XP from Amazing Garage Floors. Or do the splurge, man. Get that new epoxy garage. That lasts a lifetime. I'm doing it on the garage floor of my new house, and I can't wait to have Amazing Garage Floors working for me. John is awesome. 913-901-7139 for amazinggaragefloors.net. Back9development.com, a custom home builder. They do commercial properties, room additions, or the Solheim condominiums at Grand Mirror, a tremendous investment opportunity right now on these upscale condominiums on the gorgeous, what's becoming a destination resort golf course, Colbert Hills in Manhattan, that has a resort pool, workout facility, covered parking. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong here. If you want more information on this great investment, interest rates are incredibly low. It's a property you can use. You can rent it out. You can make money on it. Call TJ for a personal tour, 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161. Or check it all out online at back9development.com. And 360 Document Solutions. Mark Lindquist and his team provide customer satisfaction at every turn. They're better than the people you use at your office. If you have copiers with HP toner, get a new deal. Dump it. That stuff's expensive. Even if you're in a lease, he's going to get you better equipment for less money and get you a better product. That makes your business smarter and more profitable. They also do voiceover IT solutions, mailing systems. They outsource IT. Get a free complimentary analysis right now of all your doc technology and IT programs with a review of your current costs. Then Mark's going to offer up a solution to bring real, tangible benefits to your business. Anywhere in Western Missouri and the entire state of Kansas. Give 360documentsolutions.com the opportunity to make your office better, more efficient, and more profitable. Online, 360documentsolutions.com, or call Mark personally at 913-745-5344. Okay, the Big 12 had an emergency conference call. It's getting wild again. Here we go on KKHI. Hit it!
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
College football taking a lot of headlines in the world of sports, and for very good reasons. We've got a couple of big topics going on in our area right now, including Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, and if that is really a possibility. Actually, maybe the word is it really a probability? It's definitely a possibility. Is it a probability? And the news that has come out in the last 24 hours or so that is pretty damning on what the intentions are of Oklahoma and Texas is the fact that the Big 12 called a conference call with the university presidents and athletic directors of all the schools, and every school joined in on the conference call except Oklahoma and Texas. They were not in on it, so it became a conversation about what the heck is going on here. Why did they blindside us? This is going to start all over again. The distrust, the mean-spiritedness, the egos, the arrogance, whatever it may be. Now, let's preface the entire discussion here with the fact that there are a gazillion hurdles that we talked about on the broadcast, on the podcast Thursday, for Oklahoma and Texas leaving. There are legislative hurdles. There's the hurdle of the SEC wanting them. The schools that have to have 11 votes, will Texas A&M agree to have them come in, and will they find 11 schools to vote yes? Because I'm not sure it really benefits a lot of schools in the SEC. We've heard Eli Drinkwitz already speak out from Missouri saying, hey, this is an exclusive club. Good luck to them getting in here. Not everybody makes it. So there is that in the SEC. We don't know what the land... This is all premature. This was not supposed to be out. This news was not supposed to get out anytime soon. And I believe what was going to happen was, as it was first floated, the commissioner of the SEC was going to go from school to school and try to massage the issue. It's just like you would in politics. And if we do this, could we get your vote? And that is something that could certainly take weeks, but could take months to get the votes and say, hey, are you on board with this? Here's what we've got. Here's the money we're looking at. Here's why we want to do it. And see if places like Vanderbilt would vote yes for Oklahoma and Texas to come in and beat their butt every year. I mean, it has to be a tough sell to a lot of these schools. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, I mentioned it, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri. Do these schools want Oklahoma and Texas in the league? So I think it was really smart of A&M. If A&M's intention is to keep Texas out, it was really smart of them to leak this news, as we now know that this is it's a complete infancy stage, that it just started happening. And so it has caught, make no mistake about it, it's caught Oklahoma and Texas off guard that this is out there. And having it out there this early and this fast is bad for Oklahoma and Texas. It creates another hurdle, because there's plenty of schools in the SEC that had no information on this, didn't know this was going on, and now they're mad. Their reaction is, we're mad. What are you doing? How come we don't know about this stuff? Nobody wants to learn stuff through the Houston Chronicle. Nobody in the Big 12 wanted to learn it that way. Nobody in the SEC wanted to learn it that way. Behind the scenes, they're fuming. They're mad that the commissioner was off, perhaps talking to Oklahoma and Texas, and nobody knew anything about it. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes being in the dark. So there are a lot of hurdles here with Oklahoma and Texas. I'm not saying this is a slam dunk, but man, what a statement that the Big 12 called a conference call with university presidents and ADs in Oklahoma and Texas passed. One unidentified executive, we don't know if this is a president or an AD, said the call went just fine. They basically discussed trying to find out what it is that Oklahoma and Texas are looking for. What's your reasoning here? Why do you want out? Do you want to expand this league to 12? We can look at that. Do you want more revenue, a bigger share? And I think that's probably where we're headed. if the Big 12 stays together, is maybe Oklahoma and Texas get a share and a half and everyone else gets one share, you know, something like that. That could happen. I know a lot of the schools, K-State, Kansas, Iowa State, would be on board with that. My God, Kansas makes more money in football than they do in basketball. Football is still the revenue driver of Kansas athletics, and they aren't even really trying, and they just sit and collect that money. So I think there could be a lot of concessions made by the other members. It's all up for debate. Maybe that's what this is about. Maybe it gets out, the word gets out there. Maybe Oklahoma and Texas are looking because they just want more money where they are. I would think their best situation is to stay where they are competitively. They have a league that they run. They don't have to play Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Auburn. They don't have to play those schools where they are. I can't imagine why they would want to leave this situation. The best direct access to the college football playoff for Oklahoma and Texas is to stay in the Big 12. Now, if you're a football guy, and I'm a football guy, and it's how I look at these things. If you're a football guy, and let's just take KU, K-State, and Iowa State in our area, do you have a better chance of making the college football playoff if Oklahoma and Texas leave? I think the answer is yes. There will be a conference of some sort, somehow, some way. I don't know who you partner up with. I don't know what happens with the Big 12. I don't know if it's renamed. I don't know if you get Arizona and Arizona State, or you try to get Colorado or Nebraska back. I don't know exactly who it is. I don't. But I know this, whatever league it is going to have an entry into the college football playoff, and you would have a better shot at it with those schools gone. So it's not the sky is falling in. This is not the end of college athletics. A decade ago, nobody knew where anything was headed. You know, football was a very narrow-focused thing. Now it's a 12-team playoff that's coming, and there's going to be an entry available for a lot of schools. And ultimately, that's what you play for. Can we go win our league and get in the playoff and have one of those great seasons? That's what college football will become, and I don't think that's at risk here with the Big 12. I don't think it's at risk in any way, shape, or form. But this executive said off the record about the phone call yesterday with the Big 12, the executives, there was no panic, and all options are on the table. And he basically said it's simply not a foregone conclusion that they're gone. We don't know yet. I think what they're all learning is this is so early in the process, it has caught everybody off guard and nobody can comment on it. Like, nobody knows. Like, this could have just started a couple of weeks ago. That, hey, a phone call was made. If we were able to navigate away and maybe Oklahoma and Texas were thinking, this will be next summer's story. Let's work on this for a year. What's the likelihood? I reported a story many years ago that Missouri had inquired with the Big Ten to go to the Big 12, and the Big Ten said, we'll take an initial inquiry from you, Missouri, put together all your stats, facts, figures, everything that you do, send it to us, and we will consider you if we expand. Well, at that point in time, it didn't work out with the Big Ten, with Missouri, and they wound up in the SEC. Turns out it's worked out just fine for them. Would they have been a better fit in the Big Ten? Probably, but maybe not. They love it in the SEC. But it is kind of sad. I said this yesterday. It's kind of sad if your fan base, if the best thing they can say about their school is, we're in this conference. We're part of a cool club. Yeah, I guess, like joining a country club. Yeah, I belong to a nice country club, but I don't play in the club championship because I'm not even close to the best golfer around this joint. You know, it's one of those things. So that's in a little way, that's sad for Mizzou. I liked it when there were divisions in the Big 12 and Missouri had a chance to win the division, play for the league title, get into the playoff or the BCS at that point that way. To me, that was the heyday of all this. When we had KU, K-State, and MU together, there is a chance now, if this goes forth, that we'll have KU, K-State, and Missouri in Kansas City in three different conferences. That is absolutely a possibility. The possibility of KU to the Big Ten, K-State to the Pac-12, and Missouri in the SEC is absolutely a possibility. But this is different this time. This is not the sky is falling in. People aren't really as worried about, you know, where is our landing place? And ultimately, if your revenue isn't as much as it is now, you cut a couple programs, you're good to go. There's so much money in college athletics and so many donors and so many things going on at these schools that I don't feel sorry for any of them. Money doesn't matter to me. When I look at this money, it would never be important to me. But for some reason, it's important to the people who run the thing. Maybe they have contracts with incentives that as revenues goes up, they make more money. I don't know, but what does it matter? What does revenue matter at the University of Texas? I mean, their donor base is so vast. They build everything they want. They do everything they want. They have as much money or more than professional sports franchises. I mean, they really do. I don't know why they would want to. They certainly wouldn't even go to the SEC for more money. Somebody said they could make $16 million more a year. Well, if they make $16 million more a year, that's great, except they lose the $15 million they get per year from the Longhorn Network in the Big 12 because they'd have to drop it. So it's a push for Texas. There's so many things here that don't make a lot of sense and so many unanswered questions, but it was pretty amazing to see that Oklahoma and Texas were not, they were not on the conference call with the rest of the Big 12 schools on Thursday. So I found that to be quite a fascinating situation. And it is what it is, but it is also telling that they were not part of this thing. It happened on a day where Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach, was dominating SEC media days. I did a whole patron podcast on this. If you've been thinking about becoming a patron, this is the kind of stuff we do on the patron podcast. I went through all of his zingers, his one-liners, his zingers. We wrapped the whole thing up, but suffice to say, I'm not going to spend the time here talking about Eli Drinkwitz that I did on the patron podcast. If you want to hear it and you want to become a patron, it is a, I don't know, it's an ode to Missouri football was the patron podcast on Thursday. You can go to kkhasissues.com and sign up for $5 a month. Hear all the patron programming and get the newsletter every weekend. A lot of people that are there really enjoy the content, and it was all about Eli Drinkwitz on Thursday. A synopsis in a nutshell, the guy stole media days for the SEC. It was a great day and a great week for Mizzou football. Will that translate to wins? I don't know, but everybody in the SEC knows the guy now better than they did even after coaching last year. He stole media days. He commandeered them, and he was truthful, honest, outspoken, and funny as hell. It was a great, great day for Missouri football. If you want to hear more about Mizzou football and Eli Drinkwitz, go log on to kkhasissues.com, sign up to become a patron for as little as $5 a month, and you'll get much more right there on yesterday's patron podcast with Eli Drinkwitz. I tweeted this out. How can you not root for Mizzou football? I mean, if you're not a fan of another SEC team, this is Kansas fans and K-State fans. Seriously, both of you. I'm talking to both of you. How can you not root for this guy? I mean, that's a guy that you just got to love. He looks nerdy. He doesn't look like a football coach. He makes fun of himself for looking like a nerd. And then he's clearly got the best sense of humor of any coach in the league, which means he's probably one of the smartest coaches in the league. I think it's going to work. I think Missouri's going to be good. I don't know that he's going to get them, playoff caliber great, but maybe he will. If he's a good enough coach, he can do it. I think it's an exciting time for Mizzou football, and I thought that he had some big moments last year, but I thought that was the biggest day yet for Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the University of Missouri. If you want to hear more, go log on, become a patron. Just go to kkhasissues.com. It's $5 a month. You get more podcasts and the newsletter each week. I think you'll enjoy it. There's no contract. Cancel at any time. And if you don't like it, don't stay on. Don't stay on, but go give it a shot. kkhasissues.com. We're going to have a lot of bonus programming there this fall, especially related to football and sports, and some with sports gaming. So that's kkhasissues.com. $5. Sign up to become a patron if you'd like to join. The NFL released some statements on Thursday concerning their new mandate for vaccinating players. And I think the big story here is being missed all over the country. I was going to lead with this today, but I decided not to. This is lead story material at KKHI. And this is very important. This is a very serious issue with the NFL. The NFL, according to sources, is now 78% vaccinated among their players. Their goal is 85. They want every team to be at 85% with their players. Staff are required to vax. Baseball is doing the same thing. If you work for Major League Baseball, if you work for a team, we're requiring you to get the vax. They can't do this with players because the players are in a union. The union will go to court, and the court will uphold the player's side. There's no question in America. That's where it will go with a court case. 14 of the 32 teams in the NFL are at 85% or above vaccination. Andy Reid has said Kansas City is among the highest. Well, among the highest means you're in the top 15. So I guess they could be 15th and not at 85%. But if Andy Reid is not lying and Kansas City is among the highest rates, that means the Chiefs should be at the 85% and they don't have to go through these protocols. They get to act normally. Every team in the league is above 50%. And there will be strong protocols in place for any player that is not vaccinated. So what the NFL has done here is they're saying, we're going to mandate you through player peer pressure that you will be punished in the way you come to work every day. If you're not vaccinated, you can't eat in the lunchroom. We're going to give you a box lunch and you go sit in a closet and eat by yourself. You have to wear a mask. You have to do all this stuff. You have to get tested every day, blah, 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 blah. There are two types of players in the NFL that do not want to take the vax. There's the Tom Brady type, and there's a bunch of different people like Tom Brady in this league. And I'm not saying he is or he isn't. My guess would be that he is not vaccinated. But there's the Tom Brady type who know every single thing they put into their body, and their body is their temple, and it is extremely important to them, and they credit all of their success in athletics to what they put in their body. Every protein shake, every meal, every vitamin, every shot, everything they take, they know what's going in. They're on a very strict regimen, and they don't want this in their body. There's that one. That's a smaller group than a group of players that just don't trust the league or the man, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, whomever the man is. They don't trust them. There's a long history in this league of players and great reasons why they should not trust the league in the league's recommendation. That goes back decades. That's honorable. It's true today. It exists because it gets handed down from one player to another and it never really goes away. So distrusting Roger Goodell and the league is okay with me. Distrusting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who told you 9 months ago, don't take the vaccine because it's Donald Trump's vaccine, and now say, we want a mandate where everybody has to take the vaccine. Not trusting those people makes sense to me. There's also cultural things in the NFL with players that they were brought up to never trust anyone like Roger Goodell or Donald Trump or Joe Biden. We don't believe in any of them. They're out to get you. Don't trust them. Don't get the shot. So that's what the NFL's up against. And I think that's really the two issues in play. The biggest issue, which is not in play, and mark the tape and mark this podcast, I'll remember which one this was. I'm scared of training camp this year. I'm afraid of what's going to happen at training camp. If you do a little online research, you will see a huge number of NFL players that have died while on the active roster. The number one cause of death is accidents. Car crashes, drowning, plane crashes, accidents. We just lost a coach this week with the Jets, I believe, right? He was on his bicycle last week, got hit by a car and died. That's not a player, that's a coach. But the point taken is people die. So there is a long list through NFL history of players on active rosters that have died. This will shock you. The Kansas City Chiefs have had six active players die. Six. Derek Thomas, we know, was blood clots after a car wreck. Joe Delaney drowned. But there have been cardiopulmonary episodes, suicides, lots of different reasons. The Chiefs have not had anyone die of a virus. In fact, the NFL has never had a player die from a virus. Ever. These are the healthiest people in our society. Young athletes are healthy. Young people are not dying from COVID. The NFL, this is overkill. The biggest problem the NFL has for player health is training camp. I was in Wisconsin when in Mankato, Minnesota, across the border, the Chiefs and the Vikings used to scrimmage every year. I was in River Falls the year that Corey Stringer died on the practice field. That was 2001. It was hot. His body gave out. He died. That was it. 2017, Kent State University, Tyler Hentz, same thing. Maryland recently, Jordan McNair, University of Maryland, They listed cause of death as liver failure from practicing and getting heat stroke. Same thing. He had breathing issues, heart issues. He gets dizzy. He goes down. It's heat stroke. And his liver fails on him. This happens at football. It happens to high school football players. We've had high school football players in the Kansas City area that have died on the practice field, in practice. It happens all over the country. And they say, well, their heart exploded. We know that happens with college players. We know it's happened with NFL players. We have no idea how this vaccine affects these players. None. It was not available at any point during the football season last year. Never. Around the world, 6 soccer players have died while playing soccer in the last 3 years. Some of them after taking the vaccine, but not all of them. That's the last 3 years. The vaccine clearly wasn't there. The NFL has done a much better job of identifying underlying issues. Are you susceptible to passing out in the heat? Are you susceptible to something? You can see it. They do full body checks, heart monitors, all kinds of things with all these players. They've gotten better. They know that training camp is a problem. They know that heart attacks at training camp are real. They know that cardiopulmonary episodes at training camp are real. They know that strokes are real. They know that all of these illnesses and things that can happen at training camp when it's really hot are real. They know this. Now they're jabbing them and putting an experimental vaccine that the FDA has not approved into their body, and they're going to run them out there in St. Joseph, Missouri next week in 99-degree heat. Folks, that's the bigger story. Nobody in the NFL is going to die from COVID. I only ask the question, are the players at greater risk of serious illness or death at training camp because they took the vaccine? And here's the absolute answer. The answer is nobody knows. And if nobody knows the effects of the vaccine and what it will do to these football players, why are they non-mandate mandating it when they know these players aren't going to get sick and they're not going to die? We didn't see it anywhere in America. COVID isn't killing these young people. It isn't. And I'm scared to death for training camp of what could happen. I think it's a sad thing. I think it's a sad thing that players feel like they're forced to take this, or their life is miserable. Their teammates will shun them. They get tossed off to the side. They're going to get peer pressured into taking it. If something happens, if I see a stroke, if I see somebody go down that can never play again, if I see somebody lose their life that's been vaccinated, boy, the questions are going to be everywhere. They're going to be everywhere. The NFL doesn't seem to think about that at all, or really even care that much if that's a possibility or a probability. KKHI is brought to you by BStock.net, the online superstore for everything electronics, computers, televisions, anything. Apple products discounted, AirPods 20% off. Apple Watches Series 6 right now, $399 at BStock. You will not find that price anywhere. They're navy and space gray, the Apple Watches. Dell laptops on sale. They still have a whole bunch of Dell printers that they're giving, or the Dell printers? Kind of printers. They're free. I was out there a couple days ago. There's a stack up. You want a free printer? No questions asked. There's no strings attached. You just need to get a power cord for it, which is like a $20 item. No big deal. It's all at bstock.net. Walk into the outlet store and see what they have. 14680 South Flaming Road, or order online, drive up to the dock, and they'll put it in your truck or your car for you. It's bstock.net. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that can save you thousands off your utilities. Folks, if you know somebody that works in a big building and they're in charge, would you mention this great company to them? They can save money without an investment. They'll look good to their bosses, or if they own the building or they own the business, they'll save money and be more profitable. Tell them to check out eliteautomate.com, eliteautomate.com. Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Get your free inspection right now by calling 913-384-2680 and sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And, of course, Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team of orthodontists at Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations. First appointment is free. Mention KKHI, get the consultation, and see what they might be able to do for your smile. 913-469-9600. 9191. I promise you, if your teenager goes to Friar Orthodontics, they will make it fun. They will take all the pain out of it, and it will not be something your child or grandchild dreads. This is a fun place. That is a big part of Friar Orthodontics' business mission is we're going to make this fun. We're going to have people that work here that smile. We know that nobody really wants to do this over the next however many months it is, but we're going to make it palatable for you. We're going to make it right. So check it out at fryorthodontics.com. Okay, so what's the next big step? Well, in Washington, D.C., they're talking about a universal federal mandate of some sort to wear the mask nationwide, because here we go with COVID again. If there is a federal mandate, it could be a tipping point. This country could separate and crazy things could happen. The Biden administration has a problem on their hands with mandating the masks for people that are vaccinated. The problem they have is their campaign out there. I really don't know why they're so hell-bent on getting everybody vaccinated. I don't know why they can't just say, look, it's okay. Everybody live your life. Get the vaccine. Wear a mask if you're afraid. If you're vulnerable, stay away from large crowds. Let's wait this thing out. Everybody's educated on this thing now. But they've done it, and they've gone all in. In 9 months' time, they've gone from don't trust the vax, which Biden said, and Kamala said, don't trust the vax. This is Trump's vaccine. Don't trust it. Do not trust that vaccine. To, if they had their way, we'd be communists and we'd make you take it. We'd be lining you up, and if you don't take it, we're coming after you. We know who you are, and we'll find you. It's insane. These people have lost their minds. What they really want to do now for more control, again, part of control, part of socialism, liberalism, the biggest part of control is keeping people down. Keep people poor, keep them taking orders from you. As long as they do that, you stay in power and get to live your life with hundreds of millions, all the perks, in power and in control. Egomaniacs live like this. They want control. They want power. In order to have power, you have to keep people down. Part of keeping people down right now is make them wear masks. Make them feel like they are not in charge. We'll tell you what to do. We'll fly off on our Learjet without a mask on, but you wear a mask. Different rules for you. That's control. So they really want to do this. I mean, they really want to do this. They really want to make a big deal of this, that we got to go back to masks for all. The problem if they go back to masks for all, and this is always the problem with every liberal argument and every policy they come up with, is you can't defend it. You can't support your policy. You can't win a debate. You can never win a debate of the issues if you're a liberal. You can't. You can't support it. It's things that you think. Like, I think we should all wear a mask. Well, you don't say why. You don't say you want everybody to wear a mask because you want control. You have to come up with another reason. You never give the right reason. You never tell the truth. So you can never defend or support your case. And the real problem with them, and the only reason they're holding back on this right now, is cases are spiking, they like to point out, in Texas, Florida, and Missouri. Trump, Trump, Trump. That's what they like to point out, is that's where it's happening. What they fail to mention is the real problems in these states are in the biggest cities, in the inner city, where people are refusing to get vaccinated. So it's a problem. But their problem with coming forward and saying, this is it, we're doing it nationally, mask, here's a mandate or whatever it's going to be. They would love to mandate it. They'd love to be able to give you a ticket for not wearing a mask. They would love to be able to do that. They would love it. What's keeping them from doing it is, if they do it now, they're admitting the vaccine is a failure. They're admitting that we have so many people out there vaccinated that are getting COVID, it really doesn't work that well. That the numbers are huge. It helps, but it ain't great. Or as I said on yesterday's podcast, the vaccine is good, but it ain't great. It was too fast for it to be great. The virus is changing and moving around too much. But we still have this situation where kids are not dying, young people are not dying. We know that if you have cancer, and let's just look at the last year and a half. How many people developed lung cancer over the last year and a half? Hundreds of thousands? They're now vulnerable where they weren't a year and a half ago. How many people now have diabetes that didn't have it a year and a half ago? How many people have any and all of these things that didn't have it a year and a half ago? It's in the millions. These are the people at risk. We know that. And we know if you're over 60, you darn sure ought to go get it. This thing hangs around another year or two, I'll probably go get it. But the Biden administration doesn't want to make you wear a mask because it will be their admission that the shot isn't working. By the way, there's no real data that masks do anything. We've got all kinds of masked people getting COVID too. Kara Eaker, the gymnast from Kansas City that's in Tokyo, you couldn't have worn a mask more than she did and taken more protocols than she did. She did the mask. She did the vax. She did the double vax. She did the 6 feet apart. She did everything. She stayed in her hotel room. She did it all and tested positive for COVID. Because life is like that, folks. There's no guarantees. I'm choosing to live. Most of you are choosing to live. Don't feel sorry for me. I've said it from day one. If I get COVID and die, don't feel bad for Podcast Boy that he got COVID and died. I got COVID and lived. I feel pretty good about my health, my situation. I feel like I'm really educated on the topic for me and my family personally. And that's all I can do. I want you to get the vaccine if you want it. I'm not anti-vax. Go get it. If you believe in it and it's right for you, do it. Do it, do it, do it. Get the vax. I'm not telling you to not get it. Get it. If you're over 60, you probably should. But the Biden administration's caught between a rock and a hard place here because the second they start mandating masks again, they're going to say, we're trying to get you to take that vaccine, but really it doesn't work. You still have to wear a mask. And the greatest incentive for the vaccine was, honest to God, the greatest incentive was not that I'm not going to die because we see the mortality rate is low, right? You're not going to die from this thing unless you have something. You're not going to die from it. We know that. Smart people know that. We're not stupid. So the real incentive for people was, I can get back to normal and not wear this stupid mask. That got a lot of people to get the shots. It did. It worked. Now you're going to be telling those people, oh, sorry, we lied. Doesn't help. The vax is just part of this. It's not an end-all, be-all. You got to wear your mask. They'll try to sell that. They'll try to sell that to people. Again, Italy has a senator. This is not their president. Because the president, they've put a policy in place in Italy now. They've developed a health pass that lets people know whether you're vaccinated or not. If you want to get on the train, the bus, go to this area, that area, you got to show your health pass. We're arguing in this country on whether or not we should have an ID to vote. And countries are having health passes where they know your medical records. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people poured into the streets overnight protesting the health pass in Italy. They have a populist conservative senator in Italy who's very popular, gaining popularity every day because of COVID, whose policy is very simple, and we've mentioned this. If you're under 40 and healthy, it's not necessary to get the vaccine. If you're 40 to 60 and you're healthy, it's up to you. Get it or don't get it. It's a personal choice. If you're 60 or older and healthy, get the vaccine. Of course, the underlying tone of the entire thing is, if you have a condition, get it. If you have cancer, get the shot. If you're diabetic, get the shot. If you weigh 300 pounds, get the shot. If you have heart disease, get the shot. Right? That's a no-brainer. For everyone else, the rules are different. And this guy in Italy makes sense. But right now, they got all kinds of problems in Italy as people are in the streets going absolutely bonkers over what they're calling a health pass. That I just don't see how they can do that in the U.S. I don't. I mean, maybe if the thing hangs around, they try it after the midterms or something. But I don't see how the Dems can impose that. I got a great email from a friend. He's kind of a distant friend. I've met him many times, but I would consider him a friend. He's a regular emailer, and he listens to the podcast every day. Willie Vader is his name, and he owns Vader's Bar and Deli in Olathe. It's right across from the courthouse. It's a neat little place. It's what you would call a joint. It's a neat little joint. It's a deli. It's a bar. They got a little place out back. It's a neat little place. Sometimes it's really crowded. Sometimes it's not. It's that kind of place, right? Willie gets interviewed on Fox 4 last week because he writes, this is from his email to me. I had to shut down for lunch because my kitchen manager took a medical day for her son. I had no other options for a cook. I had to bartend that day if we got busy. I'm not equipped to handle an entire lunch as the sole cook and only bartender. I made a Facebook post stating what I was doing, that I had to close the kitchen until her son's appointment was finished. an appointment he's been waiting on for 2 years. He says, I love my kitchen manager and her son and would close for a week if I had to for his health. I mentioned in my post that my staff is too small because I can't get people to interview for jobs. I've spent over $1,000 recently on job listings. I'll get maybe 4 to 5 applicants on Facebook or Craigslist. Of those applicants, maybe 10% reply to my replies. And one of those actually shows up for an interview. I'm offering $14 an hour. That's more than a living wage. That's $26,880 a year. For a cook or a server, that's pretty good. The average Kansan gets $344 a week on unemployment wages, plus $300 the feds are giving. That's $30,912 a year. This is simple math. I don't blame people that are taking advantage of this ludicrous free payment to be lazy. Looking back at 22-year-old me, maybe I would have been lazy and done the same thing. Get $4,000 more a year to stay home and do absolutely nothing? What's my incentive to work? Every single night, I just uneasily wait for one of my cooks to just quit or not show up. I detest when I get a text sound from my phone because I think immediately, as a business owner, I got to go in and be the cook or dishwasher. I like doing those things when we're busy, no question about that. Mostly what he does, and I know this, he likes to greet the customers. He likes to be the owner. He likes for them to feel welcome. I've said for 9 years out that I love taking out the trash because that means we're busy. Trash equals sales. Then as a business owner, the face of the business, I get to wash dishes and be the only cook. It's the last thing I ever started my business. I lose sleep over it at night, every single night. It's the most frustrating thing I've ever dealt with in my life. I struggle to pay my own bills. I don't have health insurance. Willie Vader. Vader's Bar and Deli, Olathe. Willie's good people. I know 3 generations of Vaders. They're well-known in and around Kansas City. They're really into sports and athletics, and they're good people. They're good, hardworking people. And he follows up with his email and says, my God, Neil Cavuto of Fox News has reached out to me because of my appearance on Fox 4 with Shannon Kelly. I'm afraid to go on national news in fear of backlash of being on Fox News to discuss this. He curses a couple times in his email. He says, pardon my language. Sometimes it's necessary. Feel free to call, email, or text me. I'm not looking to get free publicity from your incredible spot on the podcast. I'm simply giving you something to talk about that I think is very important to America as there are more people like me. You're right, Willie. I would encourage anyone to go to Vader's Bar and Deli in Olathe. It's right across from the courthouse. And support this business. Don't overwhelm them if he's the only cook and bartender. If the service is a little slow, be patient. Go help him out. He's having trouble paying his bills. He's having trouble getting people hired. If you know somebody that can cook or work there, please have him go apply at Willie Vader's Vader's Bar and Deli in Olathe, across from the courthouse. I emailed back to Willie, get your ass on Neil Cavuto's show Saturday. It's tomorrow's show. It's Saturday's show. Go on national TV. And he's worried that it's going to look self-serving for him. I said, screw that. Think of the other people that will see it that could help. Think of the difference it could make for others. And it can't do anything bad for your business. Do it. Do it. Put some t-shirts online. If people see it on Fox News, maybe they'll buy t-shirts from you. You can ship them to them or buy your products or tell their relatives that live in Kansas City that they see, hey, go to Vader's, have lunch, get the deli club, have a cold beer. It can only help, Willie. You got to go on. Don't be afraid of national news or any feedback. Don't. Just do it. I go to a place up here close to where I live called Saints. It's a nice place. The owner last year, he owned another restaurant across the street, and it's out of business. It's becoming a Jack Stack barbecue. Saints stayed open. It's done well. He was on CNN. They had him on live on CNN that he was closing one of his restaurants. Do it. It cannot hurt you. Do it, Willie. Willie, do it. Do it for all the other restaurant owners. Say what you said in this letter. Just tell the truth. Just go on and tell the truth. We got to get people out there working. They got to get off. And this is a bigger problem in Kansas than Missouri because Kansas is giving more benefits right now than Missouri is. So you've got a bigger problem than somebody that's 10 miles away from you. It's not right. Go get on it, Willie. And I encourage everybody this weekend to swing by Saturday, tonight, Saturday, whenever, It's just I've been there a couple times, man. It's just a little joint. All right, this isn't five-star dining, but it's got a good feel to it. They'll have a Royals game on the TV behind the bar. You can get yourself an ice-cold beer and a really good sandwich. Vader's Bar and Deli, across from the courthouse in Olathe. Good luck to you, Willie. We are all at KKHI. We are all with you. We have a very special podcast dropping on Sunday night. By the time it drops, we will have crossed 1 million downloads. So I had hoped that this podcast will feature my son and some other things. I had hoped that that would be the one that actually clicked a million. We've had such a big week at KKHI, I miscalculated. We went way over our normal number on Thursday, talking about the Big 12. And so at some point this weekend, tonight, Friday night, or Saturday, where there are no new podcasts, some of you just catch up on the weekends and listen, so we continue to get downloads over the weekend, even if there's not new content. Somewhere it's going to click a million. We're only a couple thousand away right now, so it may happen middle of Friday afternoon. It's going to click, and we're going to call it our 1 millionth download podcast, and I will drop that at some point on Sunday night for you, and I'm very much looking forward to it, and I'm going to get emotional, and I cannot thank people enough for a million downloads, but I'll have more on that podcast when I compose myself a little bit and have my thoughts together on what exactly I want to say and how I want to thank you, the listeners, and the sponsors, and my family, and people that have supported me through the most interesting time of my life, no doubt. And you're going to find the podcast interesting, because I'm going to have some things for you that you don't know. And it's going to be really cool. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, and look forward to that one. It could be your regular Monday podcast. I'm going to drop it late Sunday night. It's going to be the regular Monday podcast. I have a thing I'm doing on Monday morning, so the schedule is a little goofy for me on Monday morning. But it's going to drop, and I think you're going to like it. In advance of that, I say thank you and look forward to that one at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.